Proverbs 30, and we've been dealing with this series on wisdom for the wise. See, it's a principle that Jesus taught. Those who have, they get more. Those who don't have, they get what they do have taken off them. The man with 5 talents looked after it well, used it well, and got more. The man with 10 talents used it well, endeavoured to increase it, and he got more. The man with 1 talent who said, I've only got 1, I don't want to lose it, I need to hide it, I need to protect it. The Lord actually took that off him and gave it to somebody else. You see, there's a principle in all of this. If you're seeking for wisdom, if you have wisdom, God is going to give you more wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, and you're not seeking wisdom, anything that you have will be taken off you. We've called this series Wisdom for the Wise because God wants to increase our wisdom and He wants to make you wise, either to salvation or to walk with Him or to grow in the things of God. My message tonight is teachability. Teachability. Proverbs 30, reading from verse 5. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Father, we just thank You again tonight for Your word. We don't treat it lightly. We don't come to Your word lightly. We don't treat it disrespectfully. We are dealing with the everlasting God. Father, You have given us the words of life. You've given us wisdom, instruction, knowledge. You've given us advice. You've given us counsel. You've given us direction. You've given us words of rebuke. Lord God, words to instruct us and to teach us. And my God, these are not the words of man. This isn't the words of a church nor of religiosity. My God, we are coming unto the living God. Father, we're disillusioned with the words of men. Lord God, we have no confidence in the teaching of man. But Lord God, Your words are pure. They're absolutely, Lord God, to be relied on and trusted above anything of man's intellect or anything of man's counsel. Lord God, we thank You. No, we're not ignorant of Your word tonight. We're not blind. We're not deaf. Nor, God, we're here with a heart that says, teach me. Nor, God, will You teach me? I want to be a person that is taught of You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Our message as we deal with Proverbs is teachability. I believe the great mark of the Proverbs, as you begin to read the Proverbs, you will find it packed full with instruction, advice, counsel, guidance, with reference to every single area of life. If you have an area in your life that you need to know what God thinks about, I can guarantee you, you will find instruction in the Proverbs. The Proverbs are filled with the thoughts of God, the advice of God, the counsel of God. If you sit with the Proverbs before you, and yet in the things of life, you never go to the Proverbs to gain the wisdom of God, you're very foolish. We literally sit with a book packed, filled with the wisdom of God and the best advice you can get for every area of life. Either you'll believe it's God's best advice or you'll trust your own ideas, your own thoughts, your own feelings. What do I mean by teachability? Because I believe that everything concerning Proverbs hinges on teachability. All through Proverbs we read about being able to be instructed or listening to the counsel of God or being taught or being led. All of these things speak about a teachability of spirit. When I say teachability, I mean the ability to be taught. And can I ask you tonight, are you able to be taught? Are you actually in a place where you can be taught of God, or taught of the Holy Spirit, or taught from the Scripture? Now, I know we'll all be there at different degrees, but I want to tell you, this is something you cannot afford to forsake. One of the great marks of your life must be teachability, or having a teachable spirit. You see, someone who's teachable and someone who isn't teachable is radically different. Have you ever tried to teach a unteachable person, anything. Have you tried to tell someone and you knew the answer? You knew what they needed to hear and you're trying to tell them something or teach something. And if you're doing that with an unteachable person, you're going to have trouble. I can assure you after a minute, you're going to shut your mouth and go, what is the point? Do you know why? Because as you begin to open up your heart and try to share with someone, what you meet is a brick wall of opposition. You receive, I know that, when you know they don't know that. You receive an attitude of, who are you to tell me? Or I don't like to be told things. You see, that is an actual unteachable spirit. What is it to be teachable? It is to have a listening ear. It is actually to have ears that are open, that are inclined. All through the early chapters of Proverbs, the Lord's speaking and it says, incline your ear. In other words, bend your head. Put your ear in the right direction. You know, you younger ones don't have the problem, but as the ears start to come in, you actually direct your ear in a room just to catch the noise. When you're below 30, you never think of doing that. You go, what's he talking about? You get over 40 and you begin to direct that ear just to get it in the right direction. Isn't that right? More mature ones. You want to home in. Well, the Bible speaks about it, about inclining your ear. You spiritually are going to have to incline your ear to catch what God is saying. Give me that again. I need to hear that again. I want to make sure that I am hearing. It's not only a listening ear, but it's a listening heart. I'm telling you about a spiritual, about a teachable spirit. You see, there's no point having a Bible, having teaching, having people with advice. I asking people, I've met many people who said, will you advise me? They didn't want any advice. They'll go around everyone, they'll wait till they find someone who tells them what they want to hear. Okay, I've got it now. So I've asked 9 people, they give me the word of God, I don't like it. But number 10, yes, I like this, this sounds good, I found counsel, I'm going to listen to them. You're a fool. You are an absolute fool. And I want to tell you, a man or a woman who does that isn't following God, they're following their own spirit. Because their own spirit says, this is what I want to hear. They're not listening to godly counsel. They don't want the word of God. They don't want to hear what God's word says. They're actually got a heart that says, tell me what I want to hear. And I'll only receive what I like to hear. That is a dreadful thing. You know what that shows? You're not being led of God. You're not being guided. You're not being taught. And God is not in your life. You're actually saying, I don't want the Bible. I don't want God in my life. I can do it my way. Thanks for the advice. Thanks for the Bible teaching. But I know what I am going to do. You see, what is someone with the teachable spirit? They are a listener. It's a terrible thing when you get someone who cannot listen. They don't know how to listen. That's why we have 2 ears, 1 mouth. And the Bible actually says it's better to hear than to speak. You better be able to hear. And I tell you, the men to be listened to are those who listen most intently. You show me someone who has wisdom and counsel. They have listened hard. They have searched deeply. They have longed to be taught. The greatest Bible teachers I've met in my life are men who have been taught by others. They have reverenced or respected the teaching of the Word. Show me someone who never really got taught by anyone else. They never get used to teach anyone else. Never. It's an attitude of heart. If you have a teachable spirit, you will teach others. If you aren't taught by others, you'll cause disaster in what you tell others. Well, I think you should do this. Yeah, no, look at your life. You know, once in Cork, there was a man came from America and he was teaching in a church on marriage counseling. And they brought all the Christians in, the men and the women, and he's going to teach them how to run their marriage. Do you know what? He had committed adultery twice in his marriage, or maybe, in fact, I think it was 3 times. He committed adultery in his marriage. Well, he's just the man I want to teach me, isn't it? Oh, come teach me. You've made an absolute disaster. You're going to teach me how to live my life with Candace. That's the foolishness that comes to the church. Show me a man that's treated his wife right. Let him teach me. I want to hear. And that's the same with every spectrum of this teachability of spirit. A teachable person is a listener. He is a learner. And he is an obeyer. This is summed up in the term in the New Testament, disciple. All that I just said there is condensed into that one title of disciple. You see, this is the mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. What is a disciple? The actual word disciple means someone who has been taught or is being taught or is being educated, not by man, but by God through his word and through vessels that he puts in the church. What is a disciple? He is a taught one, an instructed one, or a learner. The day you begin to draw back and say, I know everything, is the day you stop being a disciple. Being a disciple, we are always learning, always progressing, and always being taught. You don't get your education like with school. I go there until 17, or until 21, or until 29, whatever. And now my education's finished. Then you're finished. You're finished. You know, I didn't learn much at school. I wasn't a good student at school. I didn't know how to study. I didn't do well in my exams. But at 17, I began to study. And Candace can tell you, I'm studying now more in my life than I ever did in my youth, more than my teenage years, more than my 20s. I am an absolute ravenous student. I'm learning. You know why? Because I realize how little I know. I want to tell you, if anyone in this church, I know less than any of you, because I'm very aware of how much there is for me to gain. You see, the time is running out. My years are passing. I've got a short time to learn all that I need to learn. I feel like a baby only beginning. I feel like a child beginning to walk. And that gives me a great earnest desire. Lord, will you teach me? I really want to be taught. Now, the word disciple is used 260 times in the New Testament. This is the most outstanding name for a Christian. To have a Christian who is unteachable is a contradiction of terms. An actual, real Christian is someone who's teachable. This is the mark of their life. They have listening ears. They have an open heart. They're being taught. They want to learn. They're longing to learn. They don't have it all in themselves. You see, the mark of the new covenant, and the Lord said this, he said, this is my covenant with you. I will teach you. You will be taught of the Lord. What is the great mark of a Christian? You are taught of the Lord. Or you're being taught. Or you're being educated in the school of Christ. The school of Christ isn't a 3-week school. The school of Christ is being brought into the school of his instruction, 260 times plus. It is mentioned in the New Testament. More than 30 of those times is in the book of Acts. Don't think it's just for the Gospels and the elementary teachings. When the church gets into the book of Acts for the first 30 years, the most outstanding name of a Christian is a disciple. Saints, is this the most outstanding mark of your life? Are you a taught one? Are you a learner? Are you being taught of God? Are you being instructed by God? Is the great mark of your life is that you get your wisdom from the Bible, your knowledge from the Bible, your understanding from the Bible, and you actually have a heart that's open to be taught? Or are you a rebel? Because a man who rebels against the teaching of God is a rebel. Someone who says, I know better than what the Bible says, is a rebel. Do you know what Jesus himself said in Matthew 11 verse 29? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Notice what he says here. He says, if you're going to learn of me or be taught of me, you actually need to take my yoke upon you. Do you know Jesus has a yoke? I'm sure you've seen the old pictures of an oak, of a yoke upon two oxen. And you've got the two oxen are going to plow together. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to go in the same direction. They're working in harmony and they're walking together in agreement. Now what do they need? They need a yoke put over them. And that actual wooden yoke, it was put on two oxen to put them together so that they could join their strength and walk in the same direction. They're not only walking together, they're working together. They're absolutely in unity. And Jesus said, if you're going to learn of me, you need to put my yoke on you. What is that yoke? It is the yoke of instruction. It is the yoke of teachability. It is a yoke where you say, you are the primary teacher in my life. I am going to learn from you. I want to be taught of you. That's what it is. He says, take my yoke. It's a choice. Oh, but I want to be free, then be free. I want a choice whether I obey the word of God or I do my own thing. Lord, will you guide me in this area of my life? Will you give me direction? Okay, I'll give you a direction. I don't like that. Well, you know, what do you expect God to do? If you do that one time and two time, and I'm talking about me being a man, if I go to you and you say, will you give me some advice or counsel? Yeah, sure. I'll tell you what the Bible says because I don't have any other counsel. I don't have any other advice. I don't know any greater advice. I've spent my entire life filling myself with this book so that I think like this book, and I'm going to advise you in the book. If you ask me a question and it's my advice, I'll say, now this is my thinking on it. But if I know the word of God, I'll say, this is what God says. And this is what the Bible says. Now you have a choice. Well, I don't like that. Fine. If I'm dealing with someone and they ask for counsel, but they keep saying, will you advise me? No, I don't like that. I'll go do my own thing. A day's going to come when they come and I'll say, why are you coming to me? You don't want to hear. You're not teachable. You don't want to learn. You don't want any of that. You just want to do what you want to do. You're actually your own teacher. Your own soul, your own feelings, your own thoughts teach you. You don't want anything else. Your teaching doesn't come from outside you. It comes from your own intellect and your own mind. I'm going to say, look, don't ask me. You're wasting my time. You just do what you see fit. It's a whole lot better. But look at the real Christian. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How are you going to learn? By having the yoke of Jesus Christ on you. And I want to tell you, it's not burdensome. It's not the law. It's grace. It's not a heavy burden. Jesus says, it won't crush you. It won't kill you. I'm here to make you walk in this. But some of the commandments are very grievous. No, I'm here to make it real in your life. I'll teach you how to do it. Lord, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to make it real in my life. Well, I'm here to teach you. Will you trust me? Will you let me lead you into this? It's too hard for you. I'm here. Why do you think I'm here in your life? I will teach you how to walk in holiness. I will teach you how to pray. I will teach you how to study. I will teach you what to do. This is what it is to be yoked together with Christ. And this is what he means in Matthew 7, verse 24, when he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What was Jesus doing? He was saying things. He was given sayings. And he said, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Oh, I've heard the sayings of Jesus. That's not enough. Yeah. That isn't a teachable spirit. Oh, well, I've heard what you said. Yeah. Lord, I know what the Bible says, but do you do it? That's a teachable spirit. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Who is a wise man? He's taught of the Lord. Who is this wise man? He actually inclines. He's listening to these small statements of Jesus. And he's saying, I'm hearing. I'm not only hearing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm building that into my life. Are you building God's word into your life? Are you taking the Proverbs and making their advice and their knowledge and wisdom a part of your life? Or do you still think differently from the Bible? Are you thinking biblically? Are you thinking soulishly? Are you thinking in a worldly sense? That every time you have a decision, you're always drawn on the world. Well, what about the economy? Or how's America and China doing? Okay, I'll make my decision. Or how's the state of Ireland? I tell you, you better think biblically and go to God's advice and God's counsel. That's where we learn. We become learners. Who is a wise man? He hears the sayings and he doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Look at the wise man. We've been hearing it with the children, haven't we, over these Sundays. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came, the floods came down. It's still standing. A miracle. No, he obeyed God. Wow, how did you get your house to stand? I obeyed God. It's not a mystery. Both of them are building houses, the fool and the wise man. The fool's house falls, the wise man's house is standing there. How did it happen? One is wise, one's foolish. Yeah. One listens, one is teachable. What is a teachable spirit? It's not just that you listen, it's that you do. I'm going to watch you. I'm watching, then I'll do. That's what learning is. I've been in many situations where I've been taught things. You first watch, you learn, then you do. If it never moves to doing, you haven't learned anything. What's the point of being taught? Let's come to a scripture here that we read in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. And he, that is the Lord, is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Notice here for a second, it says, every word of God is pure. The Proverbs teaches that every single word that comes from the mouth of God, it is pure words. Every scripture in the Bible is a pure word. What does that pure word mean? It actually means it's purified. The word of God is purified. Do you know what a purified thing is? It's actually talking about something that's gone through the fire. What do you put through the fire? You put silver in fire. You put gold in fire. Now these are precious things. Gold is very precious. It's very costly. But you know, gold can have corruption in it. How do you make it pure? You put it in the fire. You purify the gold until the gold is pure gold. That's it at its greatest extent. Now I have pure gold. Not just gold with dross in it, but it's pure gold. That's it at its best realm. Do you know what he's saying here? Every word of God is pure gold. It's purified. There's no incorruption in the word of God. There's nothing of man in the word of God. This is undiluted perfection. Every word of God's mouth is pure. It's refined or it's concentrated. When you go to the Proverbs and you read a line or a sentence or a bit of advice, you've got purified words. It's undiluted. It's absolutely compact. It is solid. It is clear. Now notice what he says here in verse 5. Every word of God is pure. And he, that is God, is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He's actually saying if you put your trust in God, God will be a shield of protection around you. Do you want that? Do you want the God of heaven to be your shield, to be your protection, your security, and your strength? Do you want to be him to be around you as a shield of protection? If God is for you, who can be against you? I tell you, when I know he is my strength and he is my shield, I can stand against anything. I don't care what man does to me. He is my shield. Why does he say that after talking about the word of God is pure? The word of God is pure. Every word is absolutely pure. Then he says, the Lord is a shield unto them who put their trust in him. What's he actually saying here? What is it to trust God? What does it mean for you to trust God? What does it mean? If you're going to trust me, I tell you, either you're going to believe my words or you don't believe my words. Trust is an issue of experience. If you trust me, that means you trust my words. I'm not a mute. I'm certainly not silent, am I here? I want to tell you, either you're going to trust or you're not going to trust. And how you reveal trust is you depend on my word. If I say something, I mean that thing. I'm not playing games. I'm not playing the hypocrite. I'm not playing games with you. What is it to trust God? It's that you lean or you trust entirely on His Word. The word trust means to lean heavily. You actually lean on Him like life depended upon it. You ever see these little kids, what they do? They're up on a high wall. And you're there. And you go, I tell you, that's a high wall up there. And they're on top of it. And you go jump. Now a kid, unless they've had a bad experience, they actually trust their daddy. They have an absolute trust. It doesn't even enter their mind that daddy would let them go. They couldn't imagine that. If daddy says jump, they jump. No fears, no skepticism. No, are you sure? But what if you move? What if you're not strong enough? I tell you, those kids have such a confidence. And that's a human father, or a mother, or a friend, or an uncle. They just jump. And that innocent mind of a child, that simple thinking says, if they say it, they mean it. I want to tell you, God is the same. Every word that comes from His mouth. And when skepticism comes in about the Word of God, I'm faced with His Word. Can I trust it? Can I not? You see, it's an issue of your heart towards God. Is it true? Is it not? Will it work in my life? Well, it depends on whether you trust the Lord. Will the Bible work in my life? Can I put its wisdom into what I'm doing? Can I actually look at the Bible and find out what to do and actually do it and have a confidence it'll work? It depends whether you trust God or not. You see, if you trust God, you will do that. Do you realize the trust is revealed and manifested in a reliance upon God's Word? If you don't trust God, you won't trust His Word. Yeah. You will actually trust your own thinking. Will not be foolish. Yeah. Your own thinking, your own ideas, your own experience. And you exalt them before the Word of God. What a fool. I wouldn't want to be the man who puts my intellect and my experience and my desires above the Word of God. And trusts them more than God. God, who is eternal, who created all things, who knows what's best for you. And you would exalt your intellect and say, I think I know better. Man. And yet, so often does it not happen. Do you not find it in your own life? Do you not find that tendency, that lack of trust, that lack of absolute confidence that I can rely on the Word of God? This is where the harm comes in the Christian life. Either we trust ourselves or we trust God. He says every word is pure, you can trust it. And you reveal a trust in God by trusting His actual written word. And the next verse says, add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Every time you disagree with God's word, you will be the one found a liar. You can't reject His word. You can't add to it. Well, I just think this, you're adding to His word. Does it say that in the Bible? Well, I think, well, I'm going to do this. Wow, your intellect is amazing. 66 books of the Bible, but your intellect is greater. Your experience over 20 or 30 or 50 years, it is immense, isn't it? 50 years. Wow, what an old man. What an old lady. And you think you're wiser than the God who put this book together. I'm not making fun here. I'm not being foolish. I'm telling you about a real God. Either we can trust Him or we cannot trust Him. Either we can trust this book or we cannot. I believe this book is inspired. I believe this book is perfect. I believe this book is accurate on every area of life. I believe it gives us the mystery of the universe, the history of creation, the history of man. It gives us wisdom on education, child rearing, about everything we set our hand to. It'll tell you how to work with wisdom in your job, tell you how to operate in your family, how to be a member of this church. There is wisdom in God's word, but it's an issue of trust in God. That's what's really going to mark things out. You see, in God's word, there's no corruption, there's no error, there's no imperfection. Don't add to God's word. Take it undiluted. Well, I'll just merge my own thoughts with it. No. God will reprove you. And you know what? You will find that it fails. God will say, you're a liar. If you exalt your thinking about God's word, or in contrast to God's word, or in place of, you'll be found a liar. At the end of the day, you're going to be found, he'll be right and you're still wrong. Anything that you replace with the word of God will be a lie. It's a deception. It's not true. But it looks real. It's not real. But it seems so wise. It's not wise. It's absolutely not. Let me give you three things here tonight that actually endanger a teachable spirit, or that are an enemy to a teachable spirit. Because a teachable spirit will be taught of God, and God will give you the right instruction at the right time and the right counsel for every situation of life. But let me give you three serious warnings that will destroy this, and it will bring bad fruit in your life. It won't make you wise, it will make you a fool. And even as a Christian, know we're born again and we know Jesus and we know that we'll get there to heaven in the end, we can actually be foolish in our ways, can't we? We can actually be foolish in a situation. And I'm going to tell you, you will be foolish if you allow these three things to get in the way. The first thing is the understanding of man. The first great enemy of a teachable spirit is the understanding of man. It says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. It says there in these very famous scriptures on guidance concerning this understanding of man. It says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. How do you trust him? You trust his word. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Well, I'll do it halfway. That isn't trust. Well, I'll do him in this issue, but not in this issue. That isn't trust. I'll trust him in the thing that doesn't bother me, but in the thing that terrifies me, I'll lean on myself. That isn't trust. We're talking about trust in a person. You know, it's not just trust in a bit of advice. It's the person. Can I trust the person behind the words? Then I can trust all of his words. If he is untrustworthy, I can't trust anything he says. You know, an untrustworthy person will tell you a right thing now and again, won't they? An untrustworthy, unfaithful, unreliable person will tell you a smacker of advice at times. And you go, that's stunning. But I tell you what, you're not trusting the person. They might be right in that point. But the person isn't trustworthy. I'm going to tell you, you can trust God's word. You can trust him with the whole heart, with your mind, with your soul, with your feelings, with your entire being spiritually. It says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And notice this, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice these two halves of the Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. What we have in this verse is a clash, an absolute clash of worlds, two different worlds clashing together. The world of trust in God and the world of relying on my own understanding. These are opposites. These clash. If you're trusting God, you cannot rely on your own understanding. If you rely on your own understanding, you are not trusting God. To trust God is to trust his word, to trust what he says to us. What is relying on your own understanding? Remember what we said understanding is. What is understanding? It's where you put everything together. But it's how you do it. It's your understanding. It's got nothing to do with God's word. It isn't drawn from there. You go, I understand. I can put things together. I know what's going on. If you lean on your own understanding, you rely on your own understanding, your own intellect, your own ability to put things together or to work things out, you will trust that rather than trusting God. You see, we have a clash of two worlds, and I want to tell you, this is the most dangerous thing to a teachable spirit. To rely on your own understanding rather than trusting the words of God with all of your heart is to demolish a teachable spirit. If you're relying on your own understanding, you're not teachable. You're lifting yourself out of a teachable spirit. You see, the teachable man does trust God. How do I know you trust God? You obey his word. It shows that you're teachable. If God said it, I believe it. It's the best thing to do. I am going to make it a part of my life. You are teachable. Do you know, when you do that, you're taking yourself out of the realm of my understanding. You know, tonight I don't care much. I don't put much trust in my understanding, my intellect, my ideas. My one question is, what does God say? I want to think biblically. I want to know what he says. If you want to stop God teaching you, don't trust him with all of your heart. Lean on your own understanding. What you're saying is, I don't want to hear, Lord. I don't want you to teach me. That when you speak to me, you're wasting your words, because I'm not going to lean on your words. I'm going to lean on my own understanding. That is an unteachable spirit. He goes further here in these verses. In verse 6, he says, lead and on from this, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How do you acknowledge the Lord? In the guidance of your life, in walking out your life, how do you acknowledge God? You obey his word. How do I acknowledge him in all areas? I just want to put his word first. I want to trust him. I'm going to trust his word. When I trust his word in a situation, I'm acknowledging him. And notice the promise here. If you acknowledge him in all of your paths, what's a pathway? It's the direction of life. It's the things of life. It's the things we live out. If I acknowledge him in all my paths, what's the promise here? He shall direct thy paths. If you acknowledge him in your paths, he'll direct your paths. If you actually bring him into your pathway, he's going to direct you. How do you get directed? Well, I'm waiting for a voice. I'm waiting for a dream at night. I'm waiting for a vision. I'm waiting for a feeling. Maybe someone will give me a prophecy. Maybe there'll be a blinding light. Maybe I'll feel something. I'm waiting for God to direct my path. That's not what it's saying here. When you trust God with all of your heart, you actually trust his word. As you trust his word, God is going to direct you. How do I acknowledge him in all my paths? I just put his word into operation. I believe God's word in this situation of life. I'm going to take God to work, you know. I'm going to take God into my marriage. I'm going to bring God into this church. I'm going to bring God into all my decisions. How do I do it? I obey his word. I'm listening. I'm taught of him. And when I do that, he guides me. He is actually there leading me. Oh, but you're just obeying the Bible. Yeah, he's directing me. He's directing me. 95% plus of the direction of my life comes from simply trusting God. Amen. I absolutely trust him. The other 5% is supernatural. And when I don't know things, he'll come to me. And he has. He has many times. And he's come and revealed something. He's warned me of danger. He's revealed things. He's shown me people who come to deceive. I couldn't have known. It was beyond me. But he revealed. He says, son, you better be careful. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But if I don't have the 95% in place, why would he warn me? Mm. If you don't obey my word, why would I tell you something you don't know? Yeah. If you actually aren't directed by my word, why would I give you a dream or a vision to direct you? Yeah. If you despise the written scripture, but look at this. This is detrimental to being taught of the Lord or to having a teachable spirit. You won't learn anything. You won't be taught if you rely on your own natural understanding. Even the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, which things also we, the apostles, speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Paul was not taught by man's wisdom. It wasn't academic knowledge. It wasn't a wisdom that come from academic schools or come from a Bible school or come from even men. He said, we apostles have been taught of the Holy Spirit. Not taught by man's wisdom, but we are taught of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit teach you, Paul? He tells us in the next verse, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But listen to this. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Do you know how the Holy Spirit teaches you? In verse 13, you compare spiritual things with spiritual things. You're weighing them. That's how Paul says, how is it that I haven't been taught by man's wisdom, but I've been taught of the Holy Spirit? I've compared spiritual things. What are those spiritual things? It's the pure word of God. It's absolutely reliable. And I'm comparing them. Therefore, I'm taught of the Holy Spirit. He teaches me. Do you see how important the word of God is? If you can't be taught by the word of God, you'll never be taught by God. Your attitude to the word of God is your attitude towards God. Your attitude to the written scriptures, it's a tester. Two marks that always mark out our attitude within us. Look at what you think of prayer. Look at what you think of the Bible. That actually reveals an attitude of heart or an attitude of mind. We may not like to hear that, but that is fact. It is absolutely fact. It actually shows you where you are at a certain point. Jeremiah says in chapter 10:23, I know that the way of man is not in himself. He was a wise man. Jeremiah actually said the way of man, the way to guide man, isn't in himself. It doesn't come out of his own soul or his own intellect. He doesn't decide guidance for his own life. Listen then, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah, you're a wise man. What did you do then? He trusted the Lord. He had an absolute, unshakable trust in God. Even when nobody walked in the same direction. He says, as for me, I'm going to follow the Lord. Look at the men and women who walked with God. Look at Mary when the angel says what was going to happen within her. She says, let it be according to your word. How are you going to believe that you're going to get impregnated? You've got an angel stand before you saying, a holy thing's going to be conceived within you. You are going to be with child. How are you going to believe that? How are you actually going to grasp it or accept it? You cannot. She was wise. She says, let it be according to your word. This is the word of God. Let it be. I can't rely on myself. I'm not even sure I've got the faith for that. But I do believe that if this is the word of God, I believe it. It's the mark of every man and woman of God, is this teachableness of spirit that comes from the word of God. Trusting God and his word. You cannot separate God's wisdom from God's word. God's wisdom is in his word. You don't get wisdom from God outside of his word. He actually teaches you in the word of God. We're told in Proverbs 1:7, one of the great reasons for the Proverbs being written was that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let me go back there. Proverbs 1 verse 3. It actually gives the reason for the Proverbs being written. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Where do you get wisdom? You're instructed. You're taught. It gets given to you. If you're not willing to be taught, you won't get wisdom. You cannot. Where do you get wisdom from? I'm taught of the Lord. I receive instruction. If you're not willing to be taught, you'll never be wise. You'll always act foolishly, speak foolishly, or decide foolishly. It does reveal in Proverbs that fools despise wisdom and instruction. How do I know a fool? They despise being taught. They despise instruction. The word despise means to disrespect it. It's of no weight. To be taught by others is of no weight. It's condemned. They put it down or put it to the side or say why they do not believe that. That's an attitude of a fool. He doesn't want to be taught, doesn't want to be instructed, then he'll remain a fool. That's the first great enemy of being taught or having a teachable spirit. If you want to destroy a teachable spirit where God will teach you, rely on your own understanding. Lean on your own understanding. Elevate your own thinking or your own wisdom or your own decisions or all of that. Exalt it above the word of God. You'll destroy a teachable spirit within you. Secondly, is the fear of man. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. This is the second great enemy to a teachable spirit. If you want to destroy a teachableness of spirit within you, fear man. I can assure you, if you fear man, you won't be teachable from God's perspective. Because that fear of man will be far greater than having an ear to listen to God. Notice again, he compares two things here. He says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso trusteth the Lord, he's safe. He's safe. To trust the Lord, you will be safe. But if you fear man, it will be a snare to you, a trap. What is a snare? Ever seen those traps for the deer? And out in the wild, they actually set them with claws. That is a snare. What is a snare? It's a trap that your foot will get caught in. You're going to get caught in something that you can't get out of. You become a prisoner. It is an actual trap that's been set for you. And you're held in it and you can't get free. And you will die if someone doesn't help you. You are in trouble in that snare. What is the snare? He says the fear of man is a snare. The fear of man can trap you and imprison you. What is the fear of man? You're scared of man. Man has a power over you. Oh, this can have many different outplays, can it be? It can be in your family. I'm just scared to speak my mind. I'm scared to be real. I'm scared to be honest. I'm scared to stand for Christian convictions. I'm actually scared of what they say. I'm scared of what they think about me. Then you'll become snared. It'll become a trap to you. Just like your words can become a snare. The wrong words can snare you. You can make a commitment. You're trapped by your words. You're signed into an agreement. All of those things. But the fear of man will destroy a teachable spirit. Why? Because if you put your trust in the Lord, you're safe. What does that mean? Either I'm going to be in a trap or I'm going to be safe. What a difference. A man who is trapped, bound by the fear of man, scared of what man's going to do. And then over here is someone, you're absolutely safe from man. You've got nothing to worry about. Now what makes the difference here? It's either you trust God or you fear man. What is the source of trusting God? It's the fear of God. What nullifies the fear of man? It's the fear of God. If I fear God, why would I fear man? If I actually reverence him and put him first, why would I be scared of any man? I have been threatened in situations. Twice I haven't got promoted in work many years ago. I got told, you will not get promoted, you're a Christian. Fine. I'm not scared, I'm not intimidated. I don't need the pay. If it means less pay, fine. That's okay. I'm not worried. But we're going to give you this job, all these promotions. Not if it costs me my convictions. Amen. You're willing to lose that? Of course I am. Amen. Of course I am. Because I fear God. It nullifies the fear of man. In my workplace, the leaders, I was the youngest guy, 18, they're all big, hard and heavy drinking, womenizing, all the rest. These are hard men. This night, three of my bosses sitting down, I came walking and said, sit down. Said, you're being oppressive to all the men. What, all these 58 men, all hard working, drinking men, I'm being oppressed, I'm 18. What do you mean? Well, you're reading your Bible. I'm allowed to read the Bible. I wasn't working at the time. I'd read it, I'd pick it up, read it. We ban you. We don't want you to read your Bible anymore. Sorry, can't do that. Amen. We're your bosses. Fine, I'll do my job. I'll do whatever you say, but I will be reading this Bible. You see, there was no hold on me. I'm not a prisoner to any man. No man has bought me. I'm not intimidated by any man. I'm not scared of what any man can do to me. Let them take my life. Let them burn down my house. Let them do whatever they're going to do to me. I'm not scared of being intimidated. Well, they may not love me. They may not like me. They may not speak nice words to me. Then you're a prisoner. You're actually a prisoner and you're snared because there's certain things you won't say. Certain things you won't do. You'll be scared to make a stand. You see, lots of people are bound by fear. Their advice, their counsel to others comes out of fear. The fear of man. If you ever speak to someone who's bound by the fear of man, they're nervous of their own shadow and they're trying to counsel you. You need to do this and you need to do that and you ought to be doing that. I'm not going to listen to a man who's in a trap. Yeah. If a man has his foot in a trap and he's telling me how to live my life, I think you need to get out of that trap. Yeah. I want a man who fears God. Who is a man who fears God? He trusts in the Lord. He puts all his trust in the Lord. And you know what? He's safe. Do you know Solomon was a... Sorry. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was a man who lost this. Do you know what? He was a terrible man of fear. He was bound by fear. He got so scared when the Philistines come. He tried to get God to speak to him. Lord, I want you to speak to me. He tried to get him to speak through the word, through prophets, through every means. God, I'm in trouble. The armies are coming. There's a great general, great leader in Israel. A man of God who God had used. But you know what? He got away from God. He got away from God's word. He didn't respect God's word anymore. He wasn't walking with God as he did at the beginning when he was small in his own eyes. Yeah. But you know what? When he got away from God, he was big in his own eyes. I know everything to do. When he was back there humble, he said, oh God, what do I do? And you know what? When he got lifted up, he tried to make God speak to him. God wouldn't speak to him. Do you know God doesn't speak to everybody? There's certain people God will not speak to. God wouldn't speak to Saul. Saul was begging him, praying, trying to get everything going. I said, I want you to speak to me, God. I need your help. Look at the enemies. Look at my troubles. God wouldn't speak to him. You know why? Because of his heart. Because of his heart attitude. God wouldn't speak to Saul. So you know what Saul done? He said, fine. I'm going to get guidance. I'm going to get advice. He went to the witch of Endor. But that's disobedience to God. That's not allowed by God's word. I don't care. I need advice. I need supernatural guidance. God won't speak to me. I'll go over here. And we know the rest of that story. But you know what was behind it was Saul. He became fearful of man. The fear of man bound him. And he would go to a witch because of it. And I'm going to tell you, you show me a man or a woman who is bound by the fear of man, they will do things. That's going to move them. It's going to make them make decisions. They're going to do things. Because they don't trust God. If you trust God, you're free of the fear of man. When you trust God, you're going to say, teach me, Lord. I'll wait here until you teach me. I'm not going by anything else. I'm not being moved by the fear of man. The fear of man will bind you. But I want to tell you, there's freedom from the fear of man. Where you say, I'm going to trust God. I'll put his word first. I'm relying on him. You're free. You're absolutely free. You go free. There's a rejoicing in that. Why would I worry about man? Thirdly and lastly, as we close here, the last great enemy, or the third great enemy, of a teachableness of spirit is laziness. Not only the understanding of man and the fear of man, but the laziness of man. The laziness of man, a laziness of spirit, is actually an enemy of a teachable heart. If a man is lazy, he's not teachable. He cannot be. If a man is teachable, he certainly will not be lazy. These contradict. If you show me a lazy man, that man is unteachable. Oh no, no, I'm very teachable. No, you're not. Because if you're teachable, you certainly wouldn't be lazy. Listen to what the Proverbs has a lot to say about laziness. It says in Proverbs 6 verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. First lesson on laziness in the book of Proverbs. You sluggard. What is a sluggard? You think it's a lazy person? No, it's an animal. A sluggard is an animal. When I was in South America some years ago, we went to a zoo, the Lima, Peru, in Peru, the Lima City Zoo. We went there. I went with another preacher. Normally didn't do that, but we went to the zoo. We had a free day. And we went there. And I'm so glad I did. I stood up one of those cages, and here was a sluggard. I said, what is that animal? That's a sluggard. That is the sluggard mentioned in Proverbs. I said, I've never seen one before. Let's watch it. I can assure you it wasn't very entertaining. As we began to watch it, I went, when do you think he's going to move? He said, any hour now. Maybe before we leave the zoo. Okay, let's keep watching. Here's the sluggard, a strange animal, hanging in the tree. It doesn't even seem to be breathing, blinking, nothing. It's there, just lying on the tree. All of a sudden, the arm, this happened. All of a sudden, the arm began to lift ever so slowly. And when he's just about to burst into action, 10 minutes later, he stops moving his arm and he goes into a frozen position. I'm telling you the truth. I pictured it. I videoed it. That is a sluggard. It's an actual animal. Notice in the Proverbs it says, "Thou sluggard, go to the ant." Have you ever seen an ant standing still? Very rarely. 95% of the time, ants are just going everywhere. I've rarely seen a little ant just sitting there and being able to study it without moving. It's always on the go. The Lord is saying, "Thou sluggard, go to the ant and study him, because you're two radically different animals." The sluggard in the Bible is an example of a lazy man. He is the embodiment of a lazy man. An ant is a worker. An ant constantly labours. The Bible actually says in Proverbs 6 that the ant is wise. Go consider the ant. He's wise. Not like you. The lazy man isn't wise. The ant is wise. Notice what it says in Proverbs 10:26. Let me finish just with four scriptures here. Proverbs 10:26. Listen to this. "As vinegar to the teeth." Ever taken vinegar and it gets in there? "And as smoke to the eyes." Do you feel it? What's smoke in your eyes like? It says, "So is the sluggard to them that send him." You send a sluggard on a job. You know what it's like? Smoke in your eyes. Ugh. I didn't say it. I'm glad I didn't. The Bible says it. Proverbs 13:4. It says, The soul of the sluggard desireth. Here he is, he's a sluggard. He desires this. I'm going to do this. I desire this. I want God to do this. Oh, I'm longing for this. I desire God to bless me. The soul of the sluggard desireth. What is the mark of the sluggard? They desire so much. They don't lack desire. They have lots of desire. What does it say? And has nothing. They desire an awful lot, but they have nothing to show for it. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The mark of a lazy person is they desire everything and have nothing. Do you know what the great danger, or what destroys teachableness of spirit, is laziness? You can't teach a lazy man. A lazy man resents you saying anything. I know that. Impatience. I know that. But nothing changes. It'll take you 30 minutes to lift your arm. It also says in Proverbs 20:4, "The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold." Oh look, it's cold out there. I won't do it now. I know we need to plough the fields. I know we need to labour if we're going to eat. But look, it's cold outside. Look, we're in Ireland. It's raining outside. How can I go out and plough? Oh well, you just wait around inside. Stay inside until it stops raining. And I'm sure it will stop raining just any moment now. Look what it says here. "The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold." This is his thinking. This is how his mind operates. Oh, I won't do it. Because look, it's cold outside. I might get a chill. No, you might get warmed with the hard work. You'll be all burning inside when you get to working. Oh, looks cold out there. Well, stay inside. It's raining. Fine, stay inside. You'll never go out in Ireland. But notice what it says here. "Therefore shall he beg and harvest, having nothing." That's where your reasoning gets of a sluggard man. You can't be taught. Last of all, Proverbs 26:16. "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Who are the seven men? Notice this picture. Here's a sluggard. He's very wise in his own conceit. He's got conceit in his own heart. That conceit, those attitudes of heart, actually make him think he's wise. He goes, "I'm wise. I've got wisdom." No, it comes out of your own conceit. You're a conceited person. Here come seven men. These seven men who actually come to the sluggard, they have a reason. They're here to talk to him. They have a logical, practical, good reason. They come to them. The first man comes. Said, "Do you know what? Here's a reason." "No, I'm wiser than that." Another man comes with a very good reason. "Do you know what? You should do this." "Oh no, I'm wiser than that." A third man comes and he's given a reason. The sluggard doesn't have a reason. It's just he's wise in his own eyes, out of his own conceit. He's a sluggard, he's a lazy man. That conceit stops him being teachable. 7 wise men come with advice. He doesn't listen to any of it. He's a sluggard. He's utterly unteachable. Do you realise that laziness of heart and spirit, it's no Christian should be lazy. No Christian should be lazy. Should never be the mark of a Christian. We ought to be burning in business according to the New Testament. The great mark of a Christian is a teachableness of spirit. And with that teachableness comes understanding and knowledge and wisdom and instruction. You will be made wise through a teachable spirit. Please stand with me. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you. We praise you. My God, I thank you for your word that I can absolutely trust in it. Father, I can testify in this room tonight, Lord God, in trials and troubles and dark times and good times in every situation of life, Lord God, even when I've been tempted, when I've been pressed, when I've been confused, I have put a trust in you, in your unchanging word, in your reliable word, and you've been absolutely faithful. All the failings have been mine, all the successes have been yours. And Father, I thank you for the book. I thank you for the Proverbs. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that you're a God to be trusted. That even here tonight, I want to trust you. I want to be taught of you. I want to be free from the fear of man. Lord God, I want to be free from a lazy spirit. Will you teach me in a way to deliver me from every laziness, every excuse, every lethargy? Lord God, all of us feel it. All of us are tempted. But my God, will you set me free that I might walk with you? I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I don't want to be walking in a desert in circles for 40 years because I lean on my own understanding, moved by my own fears, my own doubts, my own thinking, bound by the thinking of man. Lord God, I don't want to die in a wilderness, but I want to go in to possess the good land of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, you said, if we hear and if we obey, we will eat the good fruit of the land. But if we disobey, we shall bear the fruit of that.